Do I need to pray again, or are you ready to receive God's word? Cool. Okay. So, Father, I pray that as we're going to go into your word, I pray that you will fill our hearts with you. I pray that as we speak your word and just hear what you've got to say tonight, that we all will hear, including me, what you have to say to us tonight. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I always find it very funny that when people say, can I pray again that you will receive the word, and it's the actual guy that's preaching. And I was wrestling with the Lord about that, but I felt to do that tonight. So it's quite interesting. I'm still wrestling about it. It's something that, you know, him and I will discuss at a later stage. Tonight, the topic for my sermon is how we walk our faith. And I'm really going to just go into two parts of the sermon. There's going to be two things I'm going to point out. It's going to be a lot of storytelling. At the end, I'm going to do illustrations that you will remember for the rest of your lives. You heard that, eh? Because the story I'm going to tell you is all the way back from 1999. Okay, that's where I'm going to start. I shared it. Where's Siri? There she is. Thank you. I shared it with her in the office the other day. I'm going to get in so much trouble at the office because I always keep her out of her work. And I just sit there, and every time I'm there in the office and we're sharing and laughing and going crazy, then the bosses come in and they're like, and I'm like, sorry. And then I go to the next department. It sounds like I don't work, eh? But I do work. I go to the next department and I sit in that department, and the boss comes in and he says, have you done this and this? And I'm like, I'm sorry. And then I walk out of that department again and I go into the next department. That's, yeah. So it's a lot of fun. You must, yeah. You know, who said church isn't fun and working at church isn't fun? We should have a lot of fun here, right? So, way back in 1999, this is quite a story. We were also, as we are here, part of the young adults, and it actually happened in this auditorium as well. They said, this one, the young adult pastor at that stage, he said, listen, I want to take a group of people to England, you know, who's with me? And I got up very bold, didn't know how, but I got to the front and I said, I'm one of those guys that wants to go. So, you know, we started the planning thing, and then they said, but you need money. And I'm like, that's, you know, sometimes as a student, you think, okay, how's that going to happen? But the Lord worked out everything that about 2 days before we supposed to give, we had to give a deposit. About 2 days before we had to give the deposit, someone paid money into my parents' account and said, this is to bless your son to go to England. So that was quite cool. So my parents contacted me and said, someone blessed you with money, you going on this outreach. But how many of you know that the deposit is not the full amount, right? I'm not good at maths, but even I know that that's not everything, right? So I had the money and I realized the Lord really wants to send me on this like outreach. It was about 20 young adults. We flew with Virgin Air. You can just imagine, it wasn't just one of me. It's like 20 of me on one airplane. We were running around on the airplane while everybody was sleeping. I've got this one friend. I really don't like sitting next to him in an airplane because he's this adrenaline junkie. You know when you go through an air pocket and the plane drops? That plane sometimes drops 300 meters. Okay, I've read up all these things. And instead of just clinching, this guy goes, you know, like on a roller coaster. Everybody around him is awake. I'm almost jumping off the plane because I really don't like this. But yeah, so it was 20 of us on this airplane. About a week before we had to go, the money came in for the rest of the trip. So we left. We're on our way to England. The mission to England was to help plant life groups or start life groups in Southampton. Yeah, nice. Yeah, all the way in Southampton, and we stayed. I'm just smiling at Gemma because she's from England. And we stayed in a little town called Andover. So where there were three team leaders, one including myself and two other guys, the one that's like on the roller coaster, and the other one was my brother-in-law. And yeah, so they were going to plant or help plant the life groups in Southampton, and we stayed behind in Andover, like I said, and I stayed with his family. And it's quite interesting that, you know, when we went, you know, the anointing just came with it. Everybody you speak to, it's like almost you're thinking, oh, this person needs Jesus, you know? So I'm in England walking past someone, I'm like, I wonder if they've got Jesus, you know? It's interesting when I go on outreach how I think like that. But why I'm sharing this story with you tonight and why, what I want to bring over in the first part of the sermon is the way I feel on the outreach is something I should have with my neighbor. And that's how I should be with my neighbor. Does my neighbor have Jesus in his life? You know? So anyway, so we're in England, and funny stuff happened there. Besides, you know, I always put my foot in it. We go to this one school, and we minister there, and the one guy says to me, listen, what is it from England you would like to take home? You know, is there anything that you can buy? And I said, I really want leather pants. And they cracked up laughing, because that's something I want. I'm like, I like a biker, you know, like need a Harley Davidson or something. I want leather pants. And they all laughed. And the guy says, after everybody was laughing, he says, do you really want leather underwear? I said, what on earth are you talking about? I want long pants. And he says, in England, we called pants, not pants, that's underwear. We call it trousers. So I just realized right there and then, before you go to another country, make sure you use the right wording. Okay? Quite interesting enough, we went from the one school to the next school, and the youth pastor in that church, he said to me, Gideon, would you mind doing something for these people, seeing that you're on an outreach? And I said, whatever you want me to do. He says, can I take you to get a piercing? And I thought, piercing? What are you talking about? He says, these kids don't relate to you. They relate more to punks in that area. So you're talking, you've got no piercings. Would you mind doing that? I thought, that's cool. So we walked into the first tattoo parlor. I had a piercing in my ear. We went to the same school the next day, and the kids were different. It was so interesting. Just, there we go. They opened up and we could talk. Then, just moving swiftly along on the story. In Andover, I felt the Lord said I must stay behind. And because we were planting life groups, planting churches and doing things like that, really need to learn some more. So they asked me if I was willing to stay an extra week and a half. So that means that everybody comes back from the outreach. I stay behind. And we go to Switzerland for a weekend. And in Switzerland, we have to give the seminar regarding the life groups. This guy is giving the seminar, and I have to be part of that. And we're staying with the family. And I said, hey, let's do this. I feel God says, let's do this. And they're like, do you have the finance? I'm like, no. Finance, never, you know. How do you just say you want to? So anyway, so the people we stayed with, and to this day, those people I stayed with, we're still friends. And so that's back in 1999, I've met them. So it's quite interesting. They said, listen, we really feel in our hearts you must also go. So we'll pay it. And it was about £175 for the ticket to Switzerland. But God provided again. And we went to Switzerland for the weekend, and we really saw, you know, we didn't see miraculous signs like Paul saw in Acts and the things he did. But we saw how people's mindsets changed. When we were in Switzerland, you go around and you see this beautiful church, and there's someone playing an organ at the top, you know, just for the sounds of it. But there's no one in the church. All who comes in the church are people taking photos of the beautiful building, and then they leave. So we had seen a lot of how God changed mindsets with regards to people and God's kingdom and living out Jesus to your neighbor. How to start a life group and then minister to each other and become a community in that. So we flew back, and just before we got on the airplane to come back to England again from Switzerland, it was quite interesting because the guy at the family we stayed with, the husband couldn't speak any English, neither could the wife, and the daughter could speak a bit of broken English, and the brother couldn't either. So it was quite a weekend with this, you know, I speak to the daughter, she speaks to the mom. The only time the mom spoke to me, and it was in Spanish, was when we played that foosball thing. You know, when you, I don't know, what do they call it? Yeah. And I got a goal, and I shouted, porque, porque. And this lady went off. You know, and I thought, what did I say wrong? And the daughter said, my mom said, you said, why? And she understood you. Because porque, porque, for somehow in Portuguese or Spanish or anything, means why. So it was quite interesting. We related. As we got to... You ask the mom why, you know. Never ask the mother-in-law why, you know. So anyway, so we got to the airport and her dad's like nudging the daughter the whole time. And she says, my dad feels he wants to give you money. So he gave me euros. It's beautiful money. I was lost in the beauty of how euros look. But it was so amazing that when we got on the plane, I said to the guy next to me, the guy I went with, his name was Bernard. I said, Bernard, yo, this guy gave me money. He says, did you take it? I'm like, yo, well, he gave it to me. He forced me, basically. He says, I need to take the money. He says, do you know that this guy does not have a job? And they really felt God laid it on their heart to give you money. And I saw in this time really how when I go and say, Lord, I'm going, how he provides through the hands of other people. And I'm telling you this story tonight because I have to preach from Acts 13 to 15. And I'm not going through the whole, all the chapters. But what I've done is I wanted to tell you a story. Maybe you can relate in some way. And remember, I also want to bring across that we don't have to go to England or Switzerland. We can go to our neighbor to live our Jesus to them. Okay? But when we go, God provides. God does something. And so many times when I go and I put my foot out, you know, just taking the first step, then he comes in like a flood and he helps me with everything I need. I heard something the other day. It's quite interesting. When I intentionally move closer to my goal or what my vision is, everything I need to fulfill my vision comes closer to me as well. So everything I need, the moment I start moving towards my vision and I know I'm going closer, the things I need to achieve or to fulfill my vision also comes to me. So it was quite interesting. So when I was reading Acts 13 to 15, it's quite nice because it's Paul's first mission trip that he took. And he took it with an interesting person called Barnabas. And my wife said, I mustn't say Barnabas because that's Afrikaans. So it's Barnabas. Okay, got it. You got it, Barnabas. And Afrikaans is Barnabas. Okay. So here's this guy called Barnabas. And the Bible says that he was an encourager. Barnabas used to encourage people quite a lot. Everywhere he found himself, he couldn't help it but to encourage people. So when I started reading up about this guy, something very interesting. He was called an apostle without being part of the 12 apostles. So that was quite interesting. That's something that you know, when that happens in the Bible, specifically in this time, it says something about you, you know, being called an apostle. And this guy went all the way with Paul, and he traveled with him on his mission trip. And I can understand why he went with Paul. Because Paul, as we all know, is quite a character, you know. Paul had something on his mind, and he goes for it. So I can just imagine that you need an encourager with you. Yeah, Paul might say something very straight here, and the people would look at him, and Barnabas come, and he says, what he actually means is this and this and this. So he was helping along the side. I'm just, yeah, it's not in the Bible. I just made that up. But I think that's how it goes, because encouragers, they really, really like to encourage people, and they really like to help people along. So that was Barnabas. He went with Paul. Okay. It also is interesting that they sent Barnabas to a lot of the churches when there was something happening in the church to go and not sort it out, but to go and speak to the people, to go and bring encouragement. So it's really a gift they acknowledged inside of him. Then we get this other guy called Paul. I've spoken about Paul a lot, but Paul went from persecutor to preacher. He was never afraid to face his issues head on. And something that's very, very nice about Paul that stood out for me, despite his strong personality, he always did what the Holy Spirit led him to do. So he would want to go head on into something, but if the Holy Spirit didn't allow that, or he didn't hear from the Holy Spirit, he would not do that. So despite his personality, you know how many times we hear, ach, that's just the way I am. I'm sorry, I'm just going to say, sometimes it's just a cop-out, you know? When someone says, that's just who I am, that's just my personality. I really believe that when we want to do the will of God, it's beyond my personality. I have to step in and do what's beyond my personality to be able to do the will of God. And that's where the Holy Spirit steps in and he really comes and helps us. So that's Paul. And something, you know, I can't remember the statement, but it stood out for me. I want to read it to you. With Paul, we see that real freedom doesn't come until we no longer have to prove our freedom. That's what we learn from Paul's life. Because everything he's done, he was there. He okayed Stephen's stoning in Acts. He really went from pursuing and trying to get the Christians. He was a guy that was, he had a goal in his life. And the Lord flip-sided him, just like that. So we see in Acts 3, and I just quickly want to run through it because I need to get to that thing you will never forget in your life. Okay? So in Acts 13, we see that they went to the Isle of the town Paphos. There was a sorcerer called Elymas, and he was saying things, and Paul recognized that this guy is not good, and he said, you know, you will be blind, and he turned blind, okay? So all these things that I just want to run through quickly is all sermon topics and things we can preach on, but we're not going to do that tonight. Then they went into Antioch, and there was a big sermon that Paul preached to the people there. And then everybody, you know, especially the Gentiles, because he spoke to the Jews and he spoke to the Gentiles, but the Gentiles really loved this message because it meant that they could go to heaven as well. So it's a long sermon that he preached. Gentiles happy, they can go to heaven. Then in Acts 14, we went to a town of Lystra, and there was a man that was crippled from birth. Paul saw his faith and said, stand up, and he was healed. And what was interesting, the people started calling Paul and Barnabas gods, because they were in Greece. So they, one of them was Zeus and the other one was Hermes. And so, yeah, they called them gods. And what was very interesting, Paul again preached a very good sermon. And after the sermon, the Jewish guys stirred up the crowd and they actually stoned him and left him for dead. You know, from you go from just preaching to being called a god to be stoned, left for dead. And you know what's so amazing? The next day, Paul got up and he moved on. He didn't stay down. And when I read this, I thought, wow, whom of us have been stoned in our lives? Not physically. Maybe you've stood up for the right thing. Maybe there was a situation where you had to speak the truth and you got stoned for that, you know? And I want to encourage you tonight that whatever came to you in the past that might have stoned you, things that could have caused your confidence to go away, I want to encourage you to get up and move on. Keep the goal in front of you. What has God said to you? Where are you moving towards? Because that's what Paul did. And he got up and he moved on. The other very funny thing I thought of when Paul, if you would in those days walk in the street and you were Paul, I just saw this. Can you imagine someone picking up something that they dropped? How would Paul react? Every time someone would pick up something they dropped, he would think they would pick up a stone. This guy went through harsh times, man. You know? So yeah, and then in Acts 15, they went to the Council of Jerusalem. Because you see, what happened was the Jews added some things, the Jewish believers. They said, you cannot just accept Jesus. You also have to be circumcised. So there was this long discussion. They had to go to the Council of Jerusalem. And in that council, Paul and Barnabas and them started speaking about all the miracles that they've performed and how amazing it was. And the council was very happy. So they sent them back, or not them, they sent other guys back to say, listen, go to these people and tell them, you don't have to have an add-on for Jesus. What I've learned in Acts is you accept Jesus. After they accepted Jesus, they got baptized and they got filled with the Holy Spirit. That's it. There's no add-ons. That's what you need. That's all you need is Jesus. There's nothing you add to your faith. You just have to have Jesus and be a follower of him. Not just a believer, but a true follower. Because if I'm a follower of Jesus, I want to do what he did. I want to get baptized. I want to get filled with the Holy Spirit because that's what Jesus did. He's my example. So that happened in Acts 15. And then the Lord shared something very interesting with me. So you see that the first part of the sermon, I wanted to bring across that we're all on a walk with the Lord in our faith. We believe we're Christians. We believe we're following Jesus. And I can either go outside the country or I can go to my neighbor. But whoever I meet must meet Jesus, right? And in this walk, we see that how the Lord provides when we go. But then the Lord showed me something else that's very interesting. And that's where I want to come in tonight. This is a thing you'll never forget. Okay? It says in 1 Peter 5 verse 8, be self-controlled and alert. Why? Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. something that the Lord shared with me here is very interesting. And I used to use cell phones, but I realized that's not going to work tonight because if I have the cell phones here, you're not going to get it. So your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And before I call up my props, because I've actually got props for tonight, I want to just say this. The Lord clearly showed me, and this is something for me personally, and then he broadened it for me. So for me personally, he said this, and this is where I want to be vulnerable with you. As a pastor, we sometimes, not sometimes, you're always in the place where you can fall in the trap that I spend time with Jesus so that I can go into my next meeting with the right wording. Or I spend time with Jesus so that I can say the right prayer for a person. Or I read my Bible so that I know my Bible so that no one else catches me out when we speak to them. But I need to spend time with Jesus for Jesus as a pastor and as everybody inside here. And the devil walks around like a prowling lion. And if I don't spend time with Jesus for Jesus, even don't kill me on my theology tonight. Just hear the vision and what I've felt the Lord shared in my heart. I can walk with Jesus. I am born again. But I can also walk closer here if I spend time with Jesus, you know, just for other people. I need to be with Jesus for Jesus. And through being with Jesus for Jesus, I will automatically go to the people around me and the devil will keep his distance. But this scripture, as forever, as long as I walk my road with the Lord, I'm walking with Jesus, he's with me, I'm born again. But the devil is forever walking parallel, looking when you trip, when you fall. I want to read something, and then I'm going to call up my props. It says, lions attack sick, young, or struggling animals. They choose victims who are alone and not alert. Forever, I must be alert for what's happening around me. Forever, I must know that guy is walking there. I don't have to be scared of him. It doesn't say I must be scared of him or run away. It says I must just know that he is there. And I must be alert and self-controlled. Okay. So to illustrate some things to you, I've asked Monde if he can come up, please. And I've also asked Angelique if she can come up, please. So Angelique, I want to give this. If you can stand here, Angelique, please. Angelique is, she's the roaring lion. Yes, you may. Monde over here, if you can stand a bit more there, a bit more there. Monde is Jesus. Okay. And I'm just going to move this a bit forward. So now, I'm going to give you guys some scenarios. I've specifically made it this way, okay? So I wanted to lighten up something because always people use funny props for the devil. And I thought, you know, I want to make this light for you, but I want you to understand this and forever remember this, okay? And there's another reason I've got Monday there with me. I'm going to give you some scenarios, and if you relate to that, if you relate to any of these, at the end of the service tonight, there's a prayer team there. I'm going to mention some things, and if you feel you need prayer in specific areas, please come to us afterwards. We're going to pray for you. Scenario one. I have never accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. The Bible says I can only come to the Father through Jesus Christ. That's it. So I just want to take that out of the way. If you never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are closer to this side. But the Lord's love for you is far greater than you can think. And if you accept Jesus as your King and Savior, you will forever be on this side. And understand? Okay. That's scenario one. Because I want people to know that you're never alone. If you've never accepted Jesus, there's always an opportunity and always a time to do so. Maybe he's been knocking on your door for a long time. And it's time to say, I want to walk closer to Jesus. I want him in my heart. Cool. Second scenario. Okay. So it says here, in be self-controlled and alert. So when I read that, I was reading up a bit more and I thought, wow, I've got the choice in this, okay? When I am in a situation, I need to make some choices. So scenario two is the following. I've accepted Jesus. He is my King. He's my Savior. But you know what? My friends say, listen, buddy, it's not so bad to take just one whiff of a smoke. Just try it. So I'm serving the Lord, and I've accepted Jesus, but I'm not that strong in my faith yet, in my walk with the Lord. So I take a puff. And before I know it, I take a packet, and I'm moving closer here. Okay? So now with whom am I walking? Not Angelique. You can say she's strong enough Christian to know. Who is Angelique in this scenario? I'm walking closer to? The lion, the devil. Cool. Second one is, you know what? I come to a place, and I've accepted Jesus. Now I'm single. But then, you know, I find the love of my life. Okay. And it's this awesome lady. And because I'm a guy, okay, so I find a lady. If it was a girl that was preaching to you, she would have found a guy, okay, just saying that. So now, I've got this boyfriend or girlfriend, but we get very close to each other, and we find each other, you know, sometimes alone. And things happen where you're alone, and you're in love, and if there's no boundaries, clear boundaries, that you overstep, you move to this side. You understand what I'm saying, overstep? There's small kids in the auditorium. Okay. On the other side is I can also go and I can say, ooh, you know, it's not so bad. I can move in with you. Boom, I'm over here. You're still born again. You're still a Christian. But look who you're walking close to. The choices that's coming through tonight is who do you want to walk close to? Because you've got the choice. This dude, the lion, is looking for every opportunity where you are weak to devour you, okay? And if I give him leeway, or if I allow things to happen in my life or things to creep in, I move closer here. Of all these things, I'm going to illustrate this twice. If I come to a place, let's say we've moved in together, and I really believe this is not right. Lord, I know this is not right. Okay, now I'm just using this as an example. So now I say, Lord, I am so sorry. I repent of this. What happens when you repent? The Bible says you turn 180 degrees and you move away. So now I say, Lord, please forgive me. I make right, we move out, you know, either set a date for marriage and we move out. That's a whole different topic on its own, but I'm just saying, take notes. We move out, okay? I'm repenting and I'm moving this way. Now, Monde is going to stand here. Move. There we go. See what happens. I've repented. And because of the love of the Father and because of Jesus, he's now between me and this roaring lion because I've repented. Now I'm walking like this. And then Jesus is between us and the lion is far away. And in this choice, although he's prowling around and looking for like softy animals, someone that's hurt, someone that's limping. In this scenario, I can still choose again and say, oh, okay, I've repented now, but 2 days later, you know what? Phew, I really like this girl. And by my choices, I can move here again and come closer to this side. Okay, can you stand there again, please? Thank you. Okay, that is scenario one. So we've got those choices that we can make. Then on the other side, life happens sometimes, and I want to use these scenarios. When I'm walking with the Lord, I've accepted Jesus. He's my King and Savior, but I'm not growing in him as I should, and I'm closer to this side, okay, where the roaring lion is. If someone in my family or with me or someone very close, let's bring it close to home, my husband or a wife, gets diagnosed with cancer, where am I closest? To the devil, to the roaring lion, or to Jesus? Devil, thank you. Someone's listening. I really appreciate that. So when I'm here, the comfort I'm going to receive, what's it going to do? I'm already facing hardships. Now I get comfort from a roaring lion that wants to take me down, and it becomes a downward spiral. Okay? But if I receive bad news, and I'm closer to Jesus, look at this. That's why I asked Monde, because he's big and he comforts, okay? Cool. You understand that? So in life, things happen. If there's a death in the family, if I'm walking, Thanks, Siri. I appreciate it. I'm just borrowing for like 2 minutes, okay? When I'm in a scenario, death or life, losing everything, what happens if I'm in a breakup with my boyfriend or girlfriend? If I'm closer there, it's not going to end well. But if I'm walking with Jesus as much as I can, my walk of faith, as close as I can every day, yes, there is times we are going to fall. But there is a thing called repenting. And when I really love Jesus, I'm going to really try my best to please Him because He loves me first. And because of that, I will repent and I'll come back to Him. I want to try the right thing. I want to do the right thing because I love Him. You know, He loved me first. He died for me. So in that, wow, I just want to please Him. Last scenario before I bring this to a close. We're in a place of community. Community on a mission. If I'm in the wrong crowd of people, and they on this side, okay? What happens if something happens with me? They're going to say, listen, buddy, I see you going through a tough time. You've failed one exam. You know what? Come with us. When we drink together, you forget everything. You know? You really do. The next day, you wake up with a headache. You will remember that you failed, and you will remember that drinking gives you a really bad headache. Or if you do something else, something worse. But they pull you down. If I'm on this side, close to Jesus, and with a lovely crowd of people like yourselves, okay? And something does happen, like I flunk an exam because I didn't study and I owned up to it. It happened a lot in my life. I had to own up a lot. But if I own up to that, guess what happens? These people, they comfort you. That's so cool. They come around you. And when I'm with these people, we're not shutting out those people. But when I'm with these people, we are strong. And I want to say as a pride of lions. And as a pride of lions, being strong in a group, we can actually pull these people in one by one. Because they're going to see, wow, these guys, whew, they really get along well. And they comfort each other when they go through tough times. I want to be with them. And we're forever inclusive in our community to say, you know what? You're welcome. Come join us. But if I'm walking in my walk with the Lord and I'm closer to this side and I'm in the wrong crowd of people, they're going to bring me down. They're going to pull me to places. They can be the nicest people, but they're going to give you the wrong advice. Okay. Thank you very much, Angelique. Thank you, Monde. Really appreciate it. So I want to end tonight asking you the following. Where are you walking? Because this for me was a wake-up call. I actually was staying in the shower when I got all this. It was quite interesting. I got out the shower and I said to Olivia, you better listen to this. And I shared the whole sermon. It was about 3 weeks ago, 3.5 weeks ago. I shared this whole sermon with her. Because the Lord in that instant showed me, where are you walking, Gideon? Are you walking close to me? Do you want to walk close to me? Or are you walking on that side? Or do you want to walk on that side? But we are in a walk with the Lord forever. Once I've accepted Jesus as my King and Savior, and I'm a follower of Christ, I'm walking with Him. And I constantly have to choose which side am I walking on. In my daily activity, with my studies, where I work, in my family, with my kids, there's so many places. But where am I walking with the Lord? When I meet people, do they see that I'm walking with Jesus? Or when I meet people and we do a business deal, do they see, but I'm closer to that roaring lion? You understand? So if it's okay with you, I would like to pray with you tonight. And then we're going to go into some announcements. And just ask the Lord to really come and move in our hearts. Because you know what? At the end of the day, I pray this every morning in my car with my kids. Holy Spirit, you are my counselor. You are my helper. You are my guide. And I pray that you'll be that for my children and for everybody around me. Everybody I get in touch with. Because that's where we find our strength. If we fully rely on the Holy Spirit to lead us, we are going to walk closer to this side. Because He's with us. Maybe there's things we need to repent of tonight, saying, Lord, I'm sorry, I've been dealing with some stuff and I'm closer there. Pastor Eddie O'Neill always said in the Free State, he said the following, he says, you know, you've got a choice on earth. You're going to heaven, but you've got a choice here. Do you want to live in a mansion or do you want to live in a shack? That's your choice. And I don't know about you, but I really want to try and do everything right here on earth so that if I'm gone one day, when I'm gone, that people will remember I've walked close here. Because if they remember that, it will encourage them as well to come to this side. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you help us, Holy Spirit, to walk this path in the right way. I pray that as we walk this road in our faith, Lord Jesus, that you will provide everything we need. As some people might have felt in their hearts tonight, I want to go. I really want to go and do something for the Lord. I pray that and just be there for my neighbor or be for someone outside of the country or move out the country to go and minister. I pray, Father God, that you will provide for them all the needs and all the means to be able to do so. I pray that tonight new visions and new dreams will birth in people's hearts for your kingdom and how they can help you advance your kingdom on this earth. And then I also want to pray for people that sit here that might feel, oh, I've been walking the wrong place. And you feel like you've accepted Jesus, but you still feel you're too far on the vulnerable side where the roaring lion can get hold of you. Father, I pray that you will work in our hearts, that we'll repent of our ways and move closer to Jesus and even to the point where Jesus stands between us and the lion. And that we'll stay there. Help us to stick to our decisions, Lord. To stick to our decisions of repenting from sin and moving closer and forward with you. Help us to be true followers of Christ. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.